Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punter's perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis. Tonight we are going to preview round 23 after going 1-1 on our best bets in round 22, but also cashing a $3.15 mixed matchup. Our multis went down, unfortunately, because we were on the heels as our one losing best bet. And let's not waste any time, let's jump straight into the five best bets that we do have for the upcoming round. Four of them we both independently liked and have landed on. And the fifth one, but actually the one I'll share first, I twisted Padonis's arm because I think we've got to be on the North Queensland Cowboys on Friday night, -9.5, second half. That's $1.80 on Dabble. You can copy from at Jacob Wynn right now. It's also on Ladbrokes and Neds. They host the New Zealand Warriors. Talked about New Zealand. They are such a different team. Maybe the worst in the NRL when they're away from home. Maybe just a little below average when they're at home because they've got something to play for in front of their inspired home fans and a sold-out crowd every time they play at home because of the circumstances that we understand. What's New Zealand playing for when they're away from home? Really very little at this point in the season. Whereas the Cowboys are playing for everything. They must win this game to stay in second. It's a revenge spot. Can you believe New Zealand actually beat the Cowboys in the first encounter at Redcliffe earlier this season? Cows are full strength, off a loss. Paul Green tribute. They could win this big. I know New Zealand's a bit unpredictable, but what we can predict pretty well is that the Cowboys will come home strong. They are a very fit and fearsome team, especially in second halves. Next up, we're going Parramatta -9.5, $1.90 on Sportsbet and Padonis. They play the Bulldogs, but share key factors why.
Parramatta, once again, I know many people out there will probably be cringing, saying, not again, the Eels are done for 2022, but we don't see it that way. We still see the Eels as a side that can contend in the big games at the end of the year. They get their most important player back in Mitch Moses, who helps dramatically, and he's expected to start, and he was meant to be out for a few more weeks, but I think the fact that he comes back in early only gives his side a boost so they can reset for the final three games. And when I look at the upcoming draw, this is almost must-win for the Eels, with two games coming up against the Broncos and the Storm. They could very well find themselves needing to beat one of those teams if they do lose this week in order to keep their spot away from Canberra because they're not entirely safe in the top eight yet. So I just think with a full week to prep for this game, again, at home at Combank, I just think they'll have too much firepower for the Dogs, and I was surprised this line isn't higher.
It's also a revenge spot, and I know a few people will be cringing that we're taking Parramatta. We've played basically this identical line multiple times against the Dogs in recent weeks. We took Cronulla. The line was right around this as well. They did cover. We took the Cowboys around this line and they did cover. And you might be thinking the Sharks and the Cowboys are better teams than Parramatta. Well, the truth is, this might be controversial, but Parramatta at full strength as they are in this game, I don't see them inferior to those sides. I know they haven't had the season of those sides. And I know that they were very disappointing last week, but they do need to turn it around this one. And we believe that they will. So -9.5 there. And then another ugly duckling, we're going the West Tigers +23.5. It's on Ladbrokes and Neds at $1.90. But by all means, take the +22.5, virtually the same, $1.90 on Toppy and 365 is fine too. Why is that, Padonis?
Yeah, so this is the Roosters' final home game at the SCG. And they should be up for it, and you'll find it very even the most one-eyed Tiger supporters will probably say that their side isn't a chance of winning this game outright. But thankfully, we don't need them to win. We don't even need them to stay within 1-12. We just need them to not lose by more than 24 points. And I think that's achievable against a Roosters side that could be a little bit complacent and looking ahead to the next 2 weeks, given that this could be a game that they just sort of coast through, knowing that they've got two big games coming up against Melbourne and Souths. So I really like that spot. And I just feel that you can't keep on making money in the NRL betting on all the teams that everyone else wants to bet on. This line's got out to a number over 20 points that I feel that it's a bit too much. When you look at the Tigers, they were an 18.5-point underdog at Suncorp. They were 19.5-point underdog at Townsville. And are the Roosters 4 points better than all those teams, given the situation as well? I don't think they are. And I think the Tigers can compete and score a couple of tries of their own, and that's enough to see them cover this number.
The fact that we were both inclined to go against the Roosters, and we love the Roosters, I think you look bigger picture. The Roosters have been playing nearly must win after coming out of their bye, and they've been handling everyone. Last week was a big game at the SCG. They beat the Cowboys. And you're talking about the next two games at Melbourne and South Sydney, which could be to make the eight. They may still need to because the Raiders are breeding down the Roosters' neck. But you know how the Roosters look at it? They don't look at it as they've got two big games coming up after this. The Roosters look at it like they've got six big games coming up after this, because they got to win the next two, but they also have to win four finals games, and they believe they're good enough to do it. And you know what? I don't disagree. I think the Roosters are as good as anyone and can beat anyone in the finals, can certainly make a run to a grand final. This is the exhale spot. This is the week. If you're going to rest anyone, you had a lot of players play rep round, involved in Origin. Robinson talked about he wanted to rest Teddy, but he couldn't because the games were too important. This is the game where if Teddy sits out, Manu switches to fullback. You don't lose a lot. You're still going to win. And we don't usually like to take an underdog that we don't really feel can win. When you're getting that handicap above kind of 20 points, there's so much wiggle room there. We think West can give the Roosters a fight. On Sunday, we think there'll be less desperation shown. We're going to go a total. We're going to play Dragons Titans over 46.5, which you'll find in the sports bet other markets. Now, full disclosure, we haven't played a total all year. I always feel like it's hard to ever feel as confident in a pure total as opposed to a side. That's just me. But there's been a few times through the season where we've both liked the total and just thought, oh, keep it simpler. We won't play a total. And that's regrettably so, because if we were to just bet totals that we've liked over Wander through this year, we would have won three quarters of them. And unfortunately, we've let those be. But this week, we both were drawn to this one. And at this time of the year, when there's less on the line for sides, you just get a much higher propensity for scoring. And, of course, that's reflected in a relatively high total. But sometimes the bookies can't make these totals high enough for Donners.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we saw it last weekend when the Titans played Manly on that last game, Sunday afternoon time slot. When we sat here on the Wednesday podcast, the total was sitting at 48.5. It got pushed on game day all the way to 52.5. And I could definitely see something similar here. And it's not very often where we can give out a total on a Wednesday and it can move 6 points in our direction without weather included. So I think it's a big edge with two teams with nothing to play for, with the exception of pride and plenty of free-flowing footy on offer. So let's cheer for some points, which is pretty rare that we'd say, because normally we steer towards unders, but I definitely feel that overs is value this week.
Absolutely. In a daytime game, this time of season, nothing on the line. You just wouldn't want money on under, especially with these type of teams. Finally, the Raiders. They're a side that still has a lot to play for, and we expect still will defend well. So we're laying -9.5, $1.90 on Sportsbet's the best price for that. Donis, additional factors.
Yeah, I've been pretty hesitant back in the Raiders over the past few weeks. But now with Tarpane back, as well as Stewart, and the fact that they're the only side outside the top eight still within the finals hunt, I could only see this game going one way. I definitely feel the line's going to close at 12 or 12 and a half. And I think the Raiders are going to overwhelm the Knights physically, and they're going to control it from start to finish. So they're the only way that we can look.
Yeah, they got let off the hook last week, just hanging on and winning. They got let off the hook, the Green Machine, when they just managed to beat the Knights in the final minute a few weeks ago. So for those reasons, I don't think they'll underestimate their opponent here. But they got three big inclusions: Tapanay, Chotrich and Ricky himself. And that's going to be enough, I think, for them to win this game and win it well. Let's jump straight into a market update to see where the action has been from a bookie perspective, thanks to Top Sport.
Hey, Tripod family, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. And I'm just recovered from the day at the lounge with the boys there on Sunday. It was good fun meeting them all, as we touched on there a couple of days ago. We move into a really important round 23, though, where we've got some games which are going to be very impactful for the top four. We've got some games that are also going to position teams in the top eight, as well as Canberra being a slight chance. So the biggest moves of the weekend, well, the South Sydney Panthers game, that's got a big question mark over it, with obviously Latrell Mitchell in some doubt there. At the moment, it's got the Rabbitohs $1.64 favourites and 3.5. I think this game's going to swing massively. If he ends up playing, I think the Rabbits start close to $1.50 and maybe 4.5 point favourites. And if he's out, I think it probably gets back to pick him. So monitor that. Penrith's got a few 50-50 players as well. Probably the biggest moves of the weekend has been the over line. There's been a lot of money for the overs already. We saw in these games where teams are out of contention that the scoring goes through the roof. So we've got our new highest scoring match of the season, with the Cowboys against the Warriors up to 52.5, and the over's already starting to go through the roof there. Probably the other game that's been a big move has been the Knights Canberra, where there's obviously a lot of stuff happening off the field for Newcastle. That line shifted from 6.5 out to 10. And finally, the other game that's seen a bit of move is also Cronulla. There's been a tough week for Manly off the field as well. That's gone from 8.5 out to 11.5. So good luck to everyone having a bet. Hopefully if your team's still in that finals contention, then they can keep jockeying for positions, because I think it's going to be a very, very tight finals series. And depending where they finish, it's going to make it a lot easier or tougher for these teams. Good luck, and gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan, for that update. And thanks to Top Sport again for having us on Sunday, as Tristan touched on there. For those of you who don't know, like if you don't watch the recap or you're not in our group, we had a bit of a tripod reunion weekend on the Gold Coast. Myself, Padonis, Alexi, who was part of the pod the first 6 years we did it, Jeff and Dan are our admins, been admins for over 5 years. Some of us had never met in person, including none of us had ever met Tristan face-to-face. So it's really cool to chat to him after talking to him nearly every week for 2 years. He's as genuine and as friendly as you would all probably imagine. We had a fantastic day out. We pulled some bets. We had some crazy wins at the game. We had some ill-fated bets at the casino afterwards with some of those winnings. Overall, fantastic day for us all. I won't go into it more because I already talked about that. I shared the story in the recap. Join our group. Have a look on TikTok even for a recap. But Padonis, you weren't on our recap, so I thought I should ask you how your experience was, because it was a special day. We had a bunch of people traveling from different cities, and two of the people who never met in person, in fact, was you and I.
That's right. First time that the win-in Padonis caught up, which was a great day out. And I wasn't on the recap, as you touched on, flying back to Sydney. Had a nice weekend away at the Gold Coast, spending the time with the boys, yourself and Alex, and Jeff and Dan in the tripod in the Top Sport Lounge, sorry. And it was a great afternoon and plenty of fun and banter and plenty of bets to go around. And great to catch up and share our experience and talk a bit of footy. And yeah, because for those of you guys who don't know, me and Jacob come on here every week and put our brains together separately and collectively to try and come up with the best plays for you guys out there each week. And yeah, it's always great to meet the people that you're involved with on a weekly basis, and more to come, and stay tuned for more exciting Top Sport action.
And we were chatting, we all bet a few try score bets, as we said, first try, second half, last try and stuff. And I was on the bus with you, Padonis, we're going into the stadium, and I came up with the idea, we bet a bunch of try score at different intervals, but I said, everyone pick their own player. Like I went for Feeder, and I was talking to you going, who are you going to take? And you're like, oh, well, Tino's out, so I'm going to see who's starting prop for the Titans instead of Tino. And in my mind, I'm thinking, does it matter? It's a front rower for the Titans. That's who you're going to pick for us. Sure enough, Jamin Jolla, first try, 85-1. How good is that? And yeah, it was important for me that everyone had a great time, which everyone did. The bets with the cherry on top. These are people integral to, you know, the pod being what it is today. Everyone traveled from far and wide to be there. So I didn't want to overcomplicate the occasion by expanding it any larger, because I was already stressed out making sure that everyone had a great time. But as I said on the recap, next time we will look to involve as many followers and group contributors as we can. So look out for that. Yeah, it's a fantastic location to watch the game. Again, we thank Toppy for having us. Before we dive into round 23, let's actually just get tips for the slate from our resident veteran of the NRL.
G'day, everyone. Tough round last week. Round 22, but tough. Only got three, but I think it was a bit of a hangover of the Paul Green situation as well, especially at the Cowboys. So here we go, round 23. Rabbitohs versus the Panthers. I've got to go the Rabbitohs. Latrell Mitchell is on fire. They reckon he was out and in. They reckon he's back in. So let's go the Rabbitohs. Cowboys versus the Warriors. I think the Cowboys will get back in the winning circle. Broncos versus the Storm. Oh, this will be a great game. I think the Storm, their record in Brisbane is superb. So I think I'll go the Storm. Eels versus the Bulldogs. Hopefully the real Parramatta stand up this weekend. So I'm going the Eels. Seagulls versus the Sharks. Cronulla should be too strong for the Seagulls. Roosters versus the Tigers. The Roosters, they'll win that. Tough night for the Tigers, I think. Dragons versus the Titans. This is a toss-up. Titans very good last week against Manly. Very good game, that. I'm going to go the Dragons at home. Both are out of the eight, so go the Dragons. Knights versus the Raiders. A very, very slim chance the Raiders can make the semi, so I think that'll be the difference. So Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Storm, Eels, Sharks, Roosters, Dragons, and Raiders to wrap up round 23. So good luck.
Thanks to the Axe. Thanks to Dabble. You need a Dabble account to follow us. Follow the Axe, who is tipping every favourite this week. So it could be a friendly week for tipsters, although he had a tough one last week, only three correct head-to-head. But there's a code tripod if you want to get amongst it on Dabble, and including, you know, backing one of our best bets that we've got on this weekend and plenty of other bets that we share throughout the weekend. Let's jump straight into it. So Rabbitohs Panthers. This is a tricky one with the line being Rabbitohs minus 4.5. Latrell named, but the story that he left training early with a groin complaint. Campbell Graham is back for the Bunnies, pushing Paulo to the wing. Ilias also back at 7, and after he was a late scratch. And Saluka Fifita returns at prop. For the Panthers, Edwards was a late scratching himself in round 22. He returns. Staines pushes to the bench. Liam Martin turned his ankle, but has been cleared a serious injury and will play. Taylan May is out, so Taruva remains on the wing. Podonis, how did you see this one?
Yeah, so as everyone knows, Souths are absolutely flying right now, and I'm happy to say that we got it wrong last week by betting against them when we took the Eels. You touched on it well in the recap that we got out in front of this Souths team, and evidently the Eels weren't good enough to stop the Souths train. And Penrith are not full strength this week, as we all know. They're still missing their starting half, so I don't really want to be doing the same thing again here by getting out in front of Souths, especially with a number this small. And when I look at the recent games where Souths have lost against other top four teams, then it was when their forward packs probably struggled and hasn't been able to get them on the front foot. And with a full week to prep for this game, I think Liam Martin's foot's going to be okay, given that he's had 8 days to turn around for this one. I think we'll see Penrith, their pack at least at their best, because especially a few of the tries that they did concede against the Storm, pretty uncharacteristic for them, a few soft tries through the middle. But you do have to respect the form of Mitchell, Murray and Cook as well. And even Cody Walker's stepped up his game as well, because there were some question marks over his form early in the year. And I even go back to 5 weeks ago against the game against the Dragons when they were down 30-0 at halftime and how poor he was playing as well. And there was some doubt around him for the rest of the year. But I think they've all banded together on the back of Latrell Mitchell being there, and they've really energised this side. But my one hesitation in tipping Souths is it just feels a little bit too easy, especially after everyone saw how good they played last week in a prime time game. I made this line 4.5 personally, but it's only a small edge in South's favour. But then when you factor in the doubt surrounding Mitchell and the various reports saying that he did pick up a slight knock and he may get rested this week, then you run the risk of if you take South now, then they're going to start pick him, or even worse, they'll be a +1.5 or +2 underdog. So I'm not willing to take that risk. So it's one of those ones where I'm just going to pass and enjoy the game.
Yeah, the Rabbits, as you said, hottest team in the NRL right now, at least equal with the Roosters, and we talked about that last week. We learned our lesson. We went against Souths last week. We lost our best bet. They're at home. They've got more to play for in this one than their opponent, for sure. Like, you can also say it's grand final revenge, but I don't really even think South City sees it that way, because there's not much on the line for Penrith, and Penrith's not full strength. But the thing is, South Sydney is still trying to push for top four. And I would play South Sydney if I knew Latrell was 100% fine and playing, but I don't know that for sure. So that pushes me away from South. And the case for Penrith is they're off a loss where they were held to nil at home. They might not have ladder motivation, but they hold themselves to a high standard. So they will want to rebound from that performance. Edwards is a big inclusion, as we know. Everyone respects how good he is these days. And also, we shouldn't downgrade Penrith too much for a 16-0 loss to Melbourne, because the truth of that game was Melbourne was locked in, and it was one of the most incredible defensive efforts of this season by any team that did hold Penrith out. Penrith were pretty close on a number of occasions, even with that being said. So Penrith could absolutely rebound here. If Latrell's out, I probably would take Penrith to win, in fact. That's how important Latrell is, but we'll sit back. Watch this one. It's a great game to kick off the round. Then Friday, Cows Warriors, 19.5 is the full game line. We're playing -9.5 second half of North Queensland. Tristan said it's also the highest total of the year, which is a good thing for us if we like the favourite. Kyle Felt returns, pushes the hammer to the bench. What a luxury that is. Warriors have named the same 17, as we know, that won 42-18, and we were on them last week, so that was great. But Podonis, we're going to go against them this week, although I had to twist your arm because you could see a case to be made for New Zealand. What's that?
Yeah, I could see a case to be made for them, especially considering that they did get get some confidence out of that win last week. And I like the fact that they've had to name the same 17 for consecutive weeks in a row, because I can't remember the last time that's happened for them. So I think they're in a good spot to be able to put in two strong performances in a row. But and I did think that the Cows' performance last week was a lot better than what the scoreline indicated, and they can be forgiven for the news surrounding Paul Green last week, and it would have undoubtedly affected their preparation and their emotional state heading into that game. Normally, you can see that going in two ways, whether they all lift for that play, but I think the fact that it was so fresh because it happened later in the week, it definitely affected their mindset. So that game could have been a lot closer as well. And when I think back to an unlucky call they had in a key moment, sorry, this is going back to the recap, but when Matt Lodge held back one of their plays in the scrum for that try for Sam Verrills, I definitely did think the bunker got that one wrong. And it was 14 to 6 at that stage, and that took the score under 20-6, and that was pretty much game over. And while I don't think it's going to be an easy cover, then the Cowboys are the right side to me, but just I felt that the line was pretty much spot on. You managed to find a great number in the second half at -9.5. And we've seen with the Cows time and time again that they really break team spirits later on in games, the way that they'll be able to control and their energy and fitness takes over. And even if the Warriors do start strong, which I'm expecting to do, so I'd be cautious about anyone that wants to play the Cows in the first half, because I definitely can see the Warriors coming out with some attacking flair and some confidence. But it's a Paul Green tribute game, as you touched on at the top of your recap, and I think it holds them in good stead for a powerful 80 minutes, and second half's the only way that we can play it, and I'm happy to be twisted as long as we get a BB winner, eh?
Yeah, so pressure's on me, but maybe I'm spilling myself a little bit because I was slightly better off in the ledger with games that we went head-to-head on last week. But, yeah, you don't have to make a huge case for why you take North Queensland's second half. It's one of the most profitable players of the season. And until the bookies, you know, fully adjust and tilt the halftime line to emphasise how strong Cows are second half, then playing that as, you know, half the full game line in a half where they've been historically good is going to continue to be profitable. You still want to like them for the full game, and I do here. And I've spoken about how, you know, last week made the case New Zealand is such a different team at home. Well, that then if we believe that, then we have to believe that they're really not much chop when they play away, and therefore we're not going to overreact to a big win that they did have at home because we liked the spot for them last week. While the Cowboys off a loss, but you say, as you say, they were not terrible at all, had their reasons, and they met a classy opponent as well, and it was a tough week for the club. So we've touched on all that. But this is a must-win, as I say. North Queensland's only above the Cronulla Sharks on differential, so they've got to keep winning. Cronulla's got a more favourable draw as well. And last time the Cowboys were at home as a big favourite, they virtually lost to the Tigers. Of course, we all recall that one. So, again, when you take a big favourite, you worry, will they be complacent? Well, there shouldn't be complacency for a Cowboys side who were not as good as they wanted to be last home game, were not as good as they wanted to be last game. Am I certain the Cowboys are going to win this big? I mean, you never can be certain in a Warriors game. The Warriors, as I said last week, they've got some good players. So if you look at it purely on paper, you could say this line's a bit steep. But when you factor in the whole situation, and as I said, I don't know if everyone remembers that New Zealand beat the Cowboys earlier this season. It was a golden point game. We were on New Zealand in that one. So these teams have gone different directions a fair bit since then. But it's Cowboys for me. Let's play them second half. Later, Friday night, Broncos Storm is a good one too. And the Storm are -5.5 point favourites at Suncorp. No changes for the Brisbane side that beat Newcastle. Storm gets back Jerome Hughes after missing just one game. Kafusi's still away on personal leave. Tonu Apea is in the centres for an injured Seve. Munster named at 6, but the last 2 weeks he was named at 6, he actually played fullback, so they could switch him with Meany, who was named at 1 again. Which side did you lean in this one, Podonis?
Yeah, I lean towards the Broncos in this game. And when I look back to when these two sides first met early in the season in Melbourne, the Broncos more than held their own. And as everyone remembers, they only lost by 12 points and they were missing their leader in Adam Reynolds. I think that game really showed how far the club's come, because in years past, when they're missing their best players, they usually fold. And that was a tough environment at the time when Melbourne were playing well in the middle of that Origin period. And I think it's also been about 9 or 10 games in a row where the Storm have beaten the Broncos. So they've definitely got the wood over them in this fixture. And so I think this is a game that Kevy would have circled on the calendar as one to aim for. And I think that second half performance last week against the Knights maybe showed that they were in a bit of a look ahead spot towards this game. And I think the strength of the Broncos this year in their resurgence has been through their forward pack and using Reynolds as a kicking game to be able to build pressure on the opposition. And I have been critical of the Storm's forward pack at times, especially in recent weeks. And coming out of their own end has been a struggle for them at times as well when their back three don't get them on the front foot, because they're coming, even though they're leading the NRL in line breaks and points scored, they're only ranked 12th. They're in the bottom five in post-contact meters, which I think shows how far their forward pack's fallen when they were about third last year in that category. Hughes' return is a massive plus for the side because there were some rumours that he was going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. So you would wonder how close he is to 100%. But it's just hard to deny also the former Munster. So you have to be wary of him. And he's been at fullback for the past 3 weeks. But I personally still feel that 5'8 is his best spot and gives the Storm side the best balance. So it's going to be interesting to see where Bellamy opts to play him in the closing stages of the season. Maybe he stays a fullback because he does offer a bit more than what Meany has. And he can play on both sides of the field. So that's a positive when you are looking towards that. And the return of Olam and Coates were pretty timely last week. And I definitely did think it showed in their defensive performance because those struggles seem to have been eliminated in 1 week. Although I'm willing to see that happen for a few consecutive weeks before we're willing to say the Storm's defensive line's back to how it was at the start of the year. But this line's telling me that the Broncos would be a 10-point underdog if this game was in Melbourne at the moment, which I don't agree with. I definitely think that coming into this game, the Broncos have the better back line, with the exception of obviously the 6, 7, and 9. So it just depends on how much value you place on that 6, 7, and 9 positions. I think the game's a lot closer on paper, and I had this line closer to 2.5. So I would play with the points with the Broncos, and I definitely feel like money's coming in for Melbourne. So I think if you like the Broncos, you can wait to get over 6 and maybe even an 8 come game day. And the other added element I do like as well favoring the Broncos is that the Storm are the most penalised team in the competition. And we do know how good the Suncorp crowd could be, and hopefully that plays a role if you do like the Broncos. And they do have the better goal kicker, so points are at a premium as well. So I'd play the Broncos, Jacob. How about you?
And I have to lean Melbourne, and it's a huge game with major final seeding implications for both sides. So very fortunate for Melbourne that the Hughes injury wasn't too serious and they get him back. And they caught Penrith at the absolute best possible time as well, with their halves missing and then resting Edwards. But, you know, that's lucky, sure, but give a heap of credit to the Storm for the way they defended in that game, as we said. And now they add a key focal point to their attack back. And you kind of think the game was so important last week and Melbourne was willing to play Munster at fullback and play a halves pairing of Meany and Johns. Well, now you have Jerome Hughes in the halves, so you hardly need to add Munster back in there. So I tend to believe they might just stick with Munster at fullback. You've got what you mentioned before, Storm's record against Brisbane in general. And we know they deliver at Suncorp numerous times. Although not in the prelim last year, but they're certainly not afraid of this venue. Brisbane on their best day could win this, but you know, in that scenario, I just feel like Adam Reynolds would have to have an absolute blinder. He's capable of it. And the forward battle, I think, is really evenly matched, and that's without Pat Carrigan. So that talks about how this Melbourne Storm forward pack's not to be as strong as it has been in past years. But the spine, you can't gloss over that. I think that is the key and probably is the difference in these games. And you're saying Brisbane has the better outside backs, but it's pretty close. Like, outside backs is not a weakness anymore with the guys that have come back into this Melbourne side. And that's why I lean them, but we lean in opposite directions. So we'll pass that one because we both agree on Saturday with the Bulldogs facing the Parramatta Eels, where we're laying the 9.5 with the home side, who are getting back Mitchell Moses from a broken finger. One thing to worry about for us slightly is the Dogs have got the same 17 that got beat in New Zealand, but Luke Thompson and Tevita Pangai Jr. are both in those reserves, and there's a possibility that we could face those players if they're promoted into the 17. But nevertheless, we like Parramatta. We've given our main reasons, but additional predominance.
Yeah, so if you just quickly touch on the number first and the line here, I'm just struggling to understand why it isn't higher. It was 7.5 on Monday before all the team lists came out, and only moved to 8.5 or 9.5 on the back of the Moses news. And I definitely feel like he's worth way more than 2 points to this Paris team, especially considering the goal kicking. So this line didn't even move through a key number, given that it was already at 7. It's only gone.
Well,
8's
a key number.
Well, you argue 8's a secondary key number.
Yeah, sure.
If you say 4, 6, 10, and 12 are the try scoring numbers, that's the way that I look at it. But yeah, I would have thought that this line would have for sure been above 10. And when you touch on the fact that the Eels did lose to the Dogs, and what some people will say was Arthur's most embarrassing performance at the time when he was in charge of the Eels, and I can definitely see a scenario where they come in fully focused. They won't be complacent, given that they were humbled in that encounter. And I touched on at the top of the show, even though Thompson and Penga do come back, I just feel that there's too much firepower up front and aggressiveness from the Eels forward pack. And given that they've got two big games coming up, they can't afford to drop this one. So we definitely like the Eels at home again.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind for me is that Monday game where Canterbury flogged the Eels, and Canterbury was massive underdogs and everyone's multis were rolling into the Eels on that occasion. And if you recall that game a few weeks ago, like, that put a massive dent in Parramatta's top four hopes. And that was a point in the season where a lot of people wrote the Eels off on the back of that loss. Since then, the Parramatta form has been mixed. Like, they've had a couple of losses, but they've had some big wins and they've bounced back to an extent as well until last week, where they were dealt another major blow. And now I believe many others who hadn't already ruled out the Eels, they probably have now. They've just lost 26-0. So if you're backing the Parramatta Eels, you haven't ruled them out. We haven't yet. As bad as last week was, let's also admit they met a freight train in the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who would have beaten most sides last week. And we think Parramatta's going to respond. The Dogs are just not that great. The Dogs have looked a little bit better than they are, we believe, because they just happen to play some weak sides in a row. So this feels like the right opportunity to bounce back from a bad loss last week and to get some revenge at the same time. And as I said before, line value, I mean, the Cowboys were kind of at home, but not even true home advantage when we laid this number against the Dogs. Sharkies, I think it might have even been a Bulldogs home game when we laid, the line was 8.5 when Cronulla played them in Sydney. So now you've got Parramatta home game. And I do believe this full strength Parramatta, in the position that they're in, needing the result, are on the same caliber as those other sides. So we will play it in a week where some others might be reluctant to. Speaking of the Sharks, they are playing the Manly Seagulls, and the Sharks are 11.5 point favourites. Should we have a moment's silence for Manly's season? We were there for the funeral, basically, at Seabus. Cooler is on the wing because Saab was injured in that game. Parker came back for an injured Harper. Now Harper's back as well in the centres. Jake Trbojevic was also injured last week, so Dylan Walker will start at 13. For the Cronulla Sharks, Toby Rudolph injured his MCL, could be out a month or so. Talakai remains sideline too, but the Sharkies do welcome back Connor Tracy and Matt Moylan. So who would you take this week, Padonis?
Yeah, I would lean towards the Sharks, but the problem is that this line's already crept out from 8.5 to 11. So if you did like the Sharks and you've already missed the best of the number, I'm not sure how much value you're getting betting on them now, this number, especially when you look at last week. You could have gotten the Sharks at 11.5 at game day, as you touched on in the recap, against the Tigers on a neutral venue in Tamworth. But now you're expected to lay the same amount of points against Manly in Brookvale. And I still think Manly are a better team than Tigers, because if those two teams were playing each other this week, Manly would be a favourite. So it's pretty hard to make money long-term following that public narrative week to week. And all the headlines seem to be about Manly in turmoil and a fractured dressing room. But don't forget, this side was up 20 points to 18 against the Eels a fortnight ago with only half an hour to go, and their season would have definitely still been alive. But I just think the poor showing against the Titans last week was more typical that you see of a side that their season's over and there's a bit of a give-up spot, knowing that you're unofficially out of the race. But I definitely feel Manly's effort's got to be much better this week. And when a side plays with effort and intensity, then it's hard to lose by double digits week in, week out in the NRL. Even though the Sharks are the only way you can look, because they're the side that's playing tougher and they're the side that's flying at the moment as well, with Nicho Hynes in career best form and Matt Moylan, his halves partner's back. But it's just hard to bet against Manly at this inflated number. But yeah, even though they've got more to play for as well, given that they have a real chance of a second spot on the ladder and they can get a home final in that 2v3 potentially.
And it was a missed opportunity for us to fade Manly last week off the Dream Crusher, which we should have. We just saw that Titans-Manly game as kind of like an anything-can-happen game, like Manly, could they rebound or are they just going to fall flat? And we did regret not playing plus 6.5, but the funny thing about that is that's what the line was on Wednesday. But when Tino withdrew on the day of the game, the line got all the way out to 10.5. So had we played the converted try line, we wouldn't have felt great. Of course, you know how it went. And this isn't my joke, but I've seen this in some Facebook groups. But it's ironic that now all Manly's playing for this season is pride. As for the Sharks, the last team that you want to go against right now is probably Cronulla. They are flying, and they had a big win in Tamworth. And that included really coasting towards the end of the game. They're really building Cronulla towards having a massive crack in the finals in Craig Fitzgibbon's first year. You don't want to go against them. So we're not going against Cronulla here. But it is a lot of points to lay against Manly, as you said. Like 2 weeks ago, they were favourites at home to the Eels. Now they're double-digit underdogs at home to the Sharks. So I don't have a lot of faith in Manly, but I'm wary that they could get up for this. If they're going to get up for any games at the end of the season in these last three, it would be a home game. And if Manly's up for this, they can make a match out of this one. So we don't know what kind of attitude they're going to have, so we'll sit back and see. But we're brave enough to take the underdog in the next one. That's the West Tigers. We're taking +23.5. On the screen, you're seeing +22.5. Virtually the same thing against the Roosters at the SCG. The Roosters have got a couple of rep forwards in Lindsay Collins and TKO that are both sidelined, but the pack has been doing okay in their absence, both starting props and the hooker, although he said it was controversial there. But they all scored tries last week when the Roosters line up the same 17 that got it done against the Cowboys. In the last game of the SCG, as you said before, they move to the opening brand new new Allianz Stadium. West get back Ken Marlowe, so James Roberts is out. Additional breakdown of this game, Podonis, on top of our best bet.
Yeah, so as you touched on there, with those two key forward enforcers for them in Collins and Tekiaho, there was a lot of talk that those guys were going to play this week, but I think the fact that they've been rested really shows how they feel about this week and the fact that they can give them an extra week to prepare, because as you touched on, they haven't got 2 weeks left of the season. They're looking towards 4, 5, and 6 games left. And I think that's the way the Roosters are going to play it. And even though that they're currently around the 1 or 2 in most people's power ratings, and we talked about power ratings last week, given Penrith's current injuries and suspensions, that they're probably number one on most people's list. But shockingly, their top 8 spot isn't guaranteed yet. So they have to take care of business and beat the Tigers. But we definitely feel that the Tigers have a chance to score some points of their own and hang within this number. And especially given some of the struggles the Roosters have had with goal kicking as well this year, I think they're going to need to beat the Tigers by 5 tries to clear this line, which is going to be a tough ask, just considering some of those situational spots. And I definitely feel like if there are some players rested, it's going to be coming on the Roosters' side, and I wouldn't rule that out. So if you like the Tigers, I'd play the number now, given that also has the potential for it to come down if there are a few laid outs.
And that's not always the case with the big favourites, because your typical punter that creates their same game multi or any type of multi or bets, you know, bets closer to to game day, right? And the favourites, often these lines creep out further as we get closer to the game. But I do think, just given the circumstances where we're at in the season, that this line could come in for the reasons you said. Like, okay, so the Roosters need to keep winning to make sure they get in the top 8 for at least another couple of weeks by virtue of Canberra managing to just keep hanging in there in 9th. And as I said, I really believe this team can make the grand final. And we've been saying that for a long time, even when a lot of others were riding the Roosters off and they were outside the 8. I feel like every week others are sharing that opinion with us as well. But if you really want to win the grand final, you've got to come into the final series fresh. And they have not had the luxury, the Roosters, of resting any players, which is why I believe this is the week to do it. Swap Manu into fullback maybe, because Manu got a week off the other week with that calf. Give Teddy a break. Roosters are still going to win, right? What else? What if the Roosters play everybody but have a really light week of training, you know? Just go easy this week. Are they still going to win? Yeah, they probably are still going to win. So you see what I'm getting at, that you probably don't want to play the Roosters, because I think they're not seeing this as a game they need to win by a big margin. They're just seeing it as a banana peel that they don't want to slip on. But you've got to take a deep breath, I believe, when your next opponent is Melbourne in Melbourne and your final opponent is Souths. And if the Raiders keep winning, and if the Roosters say don't beat Melbourne next week, they might have to beat Souths. It would virtually be a proxy finals game in round 25. Imagine if that was like elimination for the Roosters in that one. So, and then, as I said, then they're going to have to win every week of the finals too. So that's why I think this is the week you play the West Tigers. And the fact that we both gravitated to that, even though people have been saying we love the Roosters this year, probably speaks volumes towards it being a decent dirty dog to get on. On Sunday, playing the total in this one, Dragons, Titans, the line is 4.5 with the Dragons favoured. But as we said, Sportsbet, scroll down to the other markets for the best odds, over 46.5 there. And St. George's named the same 17 that was unlucky not to get a win in Canberra, while the Titans get back their captain Tino, who joins them after probably their best performance of the year, Podonis, which we witnessed. And we saw a lot of points, and we don't think this game will be all that different.
No, I could definitely see the same thing happening here, and the total's going to be over 50 for sure, because when you look at the forecast as well earlier in the week, it's predicted nice 21 degrees sunny weather in Sydney. So, in Wollongong, so that bodes well for that. I also like the Dragons as well in this game, for those people who always like to ask us what side do you guys lean towards. And I know the Dragons have lost 3 in a row, but when you look at their body of work over this stretch, their performances were a lot better than what the results are on paper. And I think back to that Cowboys game where they were competitive for an hour in that game and just got overwhelmed late by the class of the Cowboys, and they fought hard against the Sharks. They could have easily tied the game in the final few minutes, as we touched on in that round 21 recap. And then they were arguably the better team last week against Canberra, and they lost by 2 points, and there was some controversy around the ending in that one, which is poetic because exactly the same thing happened in the first fixture between Canberra and the Dragons at this stadium. And I like the fact that the Dragons are playing tough and consistent, despite the fact that they've been eliminated for a few weeks in finals now, and it's their final game in Wollongong, so they're going to want to give something back to their fans, and it's a massive drop down in class for them playing the Titans versus those teams that they've had to face recently. And I know the Titans are fresh off celebrating a big win of their own, but I'm not going to get too carried away with that, because it's very easy to run up a score against your opponent when they've got nothing or little to play for and they get behind the eight ball early. And that's what we saw with the Titans when they were able to get on the front foot and dominate a Manly side and make plenty of line breaks. I definitely feel like the Dragons are the better team on paper, and they're more consistent with the home crowd behind them. I definitely feel like this line should be above 6. I couldn't twist Jacob's arm on that, because I think he leaned the other way, but we definitely both agreed on the points. We can see points closing above 50, and that's the best way to play it on the other market, because I think it's a market better as well, because I think it's 48.5 everywhere else at the moment.
Yeah, you like St. George probably more than me, because you would have backed them last week with the start in Canberra, where I wouldn't have. So they surprised me, to be fair. But I feel like St. George, typically this season, they're going to come out, they're going to play nothing too flash. They're going to play like a B-. And if their opponent is really good, or their opponent switched on, they're going to lose. If their opponent's a bit off, or their opponent's not very good, they're going to win, or it's going to be tight, it's going to be ugly. And that's kind of how it's gone. So a lot of punters are probably going to look this week and see St. George at home and think that's a light line, under 6 points. But the reason I like Gold Coast, I can't completely explain it, but I just have this funny feeling that they really will take a lot out of a big confidence-boosting win last week. Wins have been so few and far between for the Titans. And to do it without their best player and then get him back. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but this just has come to mind to me this week. Do you remember 2 years ago how the Titans won their final 5 regular season games? I just have that feeling they're going to do something like that again. Like, now these are all meaningless games, but they've just won last week, and the next 3 opponents are Dragons, Knights, and Warriors. So after underperforming all year, I don't know, they're the kind of side that once something goes right, maybe they can ride that wave. I could see that happening, but that's why we disagree on the sides anyway, because on paper I don't see that the Dragons is any better than the Titans. I think the Titans have got good key positional players and game breakers, but agree on the total for sure. You've got some exciting players out there. Ramsey, Campbell, Amone, Brimson. You've got Hunt is in great form. And we've got to shout out the try-scoring machine, both and more as well. So in all seriousness, that Titans pack, I think, is the better of the two packs, and they give Gold Coast every chance in this. And fifth and final best bet in the 8th and final game of the round for us is the Raiders -9.5 at Newcastle against the Knights. This was a pretty entertaining clash, went down to the wire a few weeks ago. We think the Raiders can win more comprehensively this time. To add a bit of entertainment for yourselves as well, whether you're backing our best bet or not. It's our jersey giveaway game. So comment who you reckon will score the last try. And the minute, I can't guarantee you'll be as excited as we were cheering home the last try in the Sunday afternoon fixture. But hey, if you had commented Firmware last week, you were probably cheering right there with us. For the Knights, Bradman Best and Inari Tuala have both been stood down for disciplinary reasons. So what a season this has been for Newcastle. And those weren't the only Knights players in the news this week for the wrong reasons either. They'll get back Edric Lee, and Mapapalangi is going to debut at centre. Clemmer back to starting props, so they're going to go Jacob Saifidi at lock. For the Green Machine, as I mentioned, Joe Tapene, Chotrich and Ricky will all return. Podonis, give us your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, this is a pretty simple one for me. We touched on the key reasons at the top of the show. And if you look at it from a simple point of view, this line at 9.5 is exactly the same line as it was when these guys met in Canberra a few weeks ago. And that was with Ponga playing. So I can't justify the line being exactly the same now. I understand you flip home field, but what has the home field been to the Knights this year? It's been pretty poor. They've lost multiple games by 20 plus against some of the good sides and against some of the sides with plenty to play for. And that's exactly what Canberra fall into this category here. And you touched on Tuala and Best, but I think those reasons that you touched on being stood down, there seems to be a common theme with the Knights at the moment. Poor culture, poor coaching, and a lack of strike plays make it difficult for them to score points on a week-to-week basis. Whereas meanwhile, Canberra are getting stronger on and off the field with Stewart back there. He's really going to energise that squad emotionally and mentally. And I think Joe Tarpane is a massive in for them. They're going to be the side hungry, doing their bit to make the top eight. And I think the fact that the Dragons should have probably beat them last week, that's a good thing for Canberra because it'll mean zero complacency. I had the same point that you made, and just Canberra all day, and this line's going to close 12.5 for sure.
Now, the thing is, we seem to say this all the time when the Knights are at home. We're like, oh, the Knights at home, you know, they've got a great home crowd. It hasn't worked out that way. They've been so bad at home. Last time they played at home was against the Bulldogs, and they were awful. But then, funnily enough, they actually rebounded, and Newcastle went and beat West the next week as underdogs. And to be fair, the Knights were not disgraced up in Brisbane last week, losing by 18 and conceding the final try in that one when they threatened to make it interesting. I think at one point had a conversion from Milford that would have cut the lead to 6 with, you know, 15 to go. And you kind of think if there's any game at the end of the season, as I said about some other kind of dead teams, you know, you're at home, front of home fans, and it's a Channel 9 game as well, and you've got to give your best. But I just feel like even if Newcastle does get up for this one, the Raiders should still take care of business with these key players back, surviving that scare as you mentioned. And, we don't get the complacency or any underestimating because Newcastle gave the Raiders a scare already this season too. And you've got to remember as well, like, let's assume the Roosters have beaten West, but either way, because if the Roosters have lost, it's going to open the door. But more likely, the Roosters have beaten West and it will be do or die for Canberra. And look, more pressure doesn't always mean better results, because sometimes you get a side that on the other side of the coin that's carefree and can play spoiler. But generally, when you have a team that's season is on the line, you can expect close to their best defensive effort. And Canberra are a good defensive side when they're locked in, and that's what I'm expecting here. And they're the only side I want my money on. That's why we've gone late. We've laid the points with Canberra for the best bet. And it's going to build into a nice big triple threat mixed matchup. Mixed matchup this week is Parramatta, West Tigers and Raiders to outscore Bulldogs, Roosters and Knights. And we are a $2.50, $2.55 underdog on Top Sport. You can have up to $200 on that. And the code is TRIPOD if you want a Top Sport account. So we've got two favourites and only one underdog on our side. Of course, we've got the biggest of the underdogs. If you look at who we're trying to outscore, we don't think the Bulldogs will score a great deal against Parra. We think Parra's going to rebound. We don't think the Knights will score many against the Raiders. The Roosters are a threat to put on a fair share of points. If you add those three team totals together, that's 70 points, right? So the Roosters are predicted to probably score half of that 70. But we've made the case why we like West. We think West could restrict the Roosters. And then we also have a chance that particularly Parramatta or Canberra could put on a decent flurry and a decent batch of points on our side. So to be a $2.55 underdog, I think that is a pretty solid mixed matchup to back up our juicy winner from last week. That will do it. Thanks for joining us. And thank you, Podonis, for joining me to chat about these games and to find five best bets. And we'll you can follow us on all the platforms and in our group throughout the weekend for our multis. And obviously, you know, in the game threads, we love to chat about every upcoming game. And let us know in the comments too what you think and what you're backing. As always, we'll be back Sunday night to recap it all right on the back of this game. Hopefully, we can celebrate another mixed matchup and some winning best bets too. Have a great week, guys, and enjoy your weekend. If you're punting, do it responsibly. And leg off.